The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello once again, this is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski and Father Scott Winchell is our guest today. Priest since 2009, but what a career before that and as he continues on. Father, first of all, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
You were born in a town, I hope I pronounce it right, is it really Peculiar, Missouri?
That's right.
Peculiar, huh?
Missouri, yes.
It's an interesting name for a town. Was it right. Peculiar?
Yes, very peculiar. Yeah.
That's funny. I know you're a convert to Catholicism. How did you grow up as far as any religious training?
Yes, we grew up Baptist, Southern Baptist, in a small little town, Peculiar. When I was growing up, it was about 700 people, and we went to the Baptist church there. There was only two churches in town, a Baptist church and a Methodist church, and my family was part of the Baptist church, and relatives that have been in the Baptist faith for many years.
Are there many Catholic churches in that? I know they weren't near town, but in the South at that time, weren't they maybe a little more sparse?
Yes, in Missouri, so we are located on the far western state line of Missouri in the Kansas City, outside of Kansas City. So
okay.
Once you get up into Kansas City, there would be a fair population of Catholics there, but as you get out of town, not so many Catholics on a farmland and less large populations and such, and so not too many Catholics out in the area that I lived grew up.
In your religious background in the Baptist Church, you went to public schools, I assume.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah. Small little town.
Yeah. Was weekly worship in your family's tradition?
Yes, it was pretty much a non-negotiable in our family, even though as kids, I think we kind of tried to push the envelope and not go as often as we would, as my parents wanted to. But yes, every Sunday we were there and we'd, show up with our Bibles in our hands and be there for Sunday school and church worship service as well.
Did you find that, albeit a different tradition, that routine of weekly worship, was that important as you started to consider maybe a change to Catholicism?
It was. When I left home after high school, I joined the military and such, and I got away from going to church. I still believed in God. I just reached a point where I didn't feel like I needed him as much. But through the years, when I was away from home, my mother would oftentimes ask me if I had found a church or was going to church. And it was something that I knew was an expectation growing up years. And I knew I wasn't living up to that expectation. And it was cause for a conversation with my mother, and so for me to go back to a faith and to look at the Catholic Church, I could appreciate the importance of Sunday worship, and so I think being brought up with that, even though I didn't always want to be there on Sunday morning, I knew that it was important to me and to my family.
You were a helicopter mechanic in the
That's
Army?
That's right.
Was that the Army?
In the Marines.
Marines, uh-huh. Okay. I read an article about you and it's called Helicopters, Holiness, and Humility. that's a very catchy title.
That's great. Yeah.
Some friends were Catholic, I guess. They were also helicopter mechanics.
Yes. While I was serving in the Marines and working as a helicopter mechanic, and I also flew on the helicopters as a crew chief, or kind of like a flight engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of responsible for the maintenance of the helicopter while it was in the air, but also on the ground. And so we flew a lot. But when I went into the military, I crossed paths with a number of people who were Catholics. I didn't know too much really about the Catholic faith, but I think even in the military, I recognized that these were some pretty good guys and pretty well adjusted and all those things. And even if there were a little bit of stereotype to Catholics that I may have, grabbed along the way.
Sure.
Somewhere, I felt like these were some great guys and they were good people. And so I think that made a difference in my journey.
Did they encourage you to come along or were you more, can I come along?
Really neither.
Okay.
I wasn't too interested in coming along at the time. I didn't get too much in the way of invitations either. But even if the invitation had been there, I'm not sure that I would have made the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point in my life.
What happened next? What got you closer to that decision?
I would say there were a couple times in the military that, you know, some little close calls and some near, you might say near death, not near death, but almost some events that got me probably close to the end of my life, you might say. And so it made me think and appreciate the Lord more. But it was really after I got out of the military that getting back into, you might say, the real world is what we would say in the military, in the real world, and facing some challenges that really led me to seek out the Lord more so.
What type of work were you doing after the military? Mechanic stuff?
Yes. Uh-huh. After I finished my time in the Marines, I got out. I was in for 6 years and then got out and stayed in aviation. So I worked for a couple different companies in aviation, working as a mechanic. And one of those companies was American Eagle Airlines, which is a fairly good-sized commuter aircraft carrier for American Airlines.
Let's take a break there, because this is a great spot to take a break, and we'll pick it up with what the next step was for you after these messages on God Calling right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Scott Winchell is joining us. He is the pastor right now of St. Anne, Columbus, Georgia. And Father, it's a unique journey. You were out of the military working for the airlines, considering how to proceed next as far as your religious faith goes. And what happened next?
I worked for a couple different companies in aviation, and I bounced around a few places. I got out of the military in the Orange County, California area outside of Los Angeles, and a very busy place, comparatively speaking, to my small little town, Peculiar, Missouri. I worked there for a couple years, and then I got on with American Eagle Airlines and moved to the Midwest, Little Rock, Arkansas, and I also worked with them in Rockford, Illinois for a short time, and then kind of settled in Springfield, Missouri, which is fairly close to my family. It was there that I was dating and got engaged to this young woman, Kimberly.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us probably kind of fit in the same category in the sense that she had had some Baptist upbringing. She had been in the military previously. We worked for the same company. And neither one of us were really going to church. And I think during that time of my engagement, which is about 9 months long, I began to do some thinking, some deep thinking about life. It was the mid-90s. I was also looking at political things that were taking place and some wars that had taken place recently and just kind of looking at the overall picture of life. And I began to think, I need to get back to church. I need something. Something's just missing. And so I began to kind of go back to church. And at that same time, I'm in the middle of an engagement that's going, you know, lead to marriage. And then at that same time, I met a Catholic who I worked with, who began to talk about her faith. And we'd have these long chats about faith and what some of the differences between Catholics and Protestant Baptists were. And I began to see that there was a lot of common ground between the two. I think that I had previously thought that the Catholic Church was maybe not even Christian. But the more we talked about in our conversation, the more I realized, you know, they have the Bible in common with the Baptist Church, you know, and believe in Jesus and the crucifixion and death, resurrection, and redemption for us. And so we had many things in common. And I think that's what I began to see in my conversation with her, were things that we had in common. And I think that looking back, I see that that was a great place to start, finding common ground. And I don't know if she did it consciously or not, but her name was Lynette, and she really brought out some great, beautiful things about Catholicism and really made me want to know more. And then starting to ask the questions, well, if we have this in common, what are we different about? And that, of course, led to other conversations as well.
Certainly the Eucharist. Did you have a hard time wrapping your hands around that belief?
You know, that's a really good question. I had been away from my own faith for about 10 years. And in some regards, I wasn't quite sure what I believed, especially when it came to communion. I remember as a child growing up that we had communion maybe quarterly or so, every few months or so. And I knew that it was important. I knew that we had it. But deep down, I'm not sure I knew exactly what we believed in about it theologically. And so it helped me to kind of take her very, very clear understanding of what Catholics believed in the Eucharist, being the body and blood of Christ. And it made me kind of go back and to say, okay, well, what did we believe, or what do Baptists believe in communion, in the Eucharist? And so, it, you know, it was a time of comparing the different teachings. And then the beautiful thing with Lynette was she had some answers about why the Catholics believe this, and where in Scripture we see these things. And that really made me think, you know what, I think that this sounds right.
Now you're engaged at this time.
Yes, I was engaged. Kimberly was her name, and she, I think she wanted to kind of be in on some of these conversations and find out more, too. But I think also on her side of things, I was taking on a new life almost. I was spending all my extra time, you know, digging into reading and studying and Scripture and all those things. And I think she was more involved in trying to get ready for the wedding. And so I was a bit distracted. And I think I was taking on a spiritual journey that we weren't quite yoked up with. Together, myself and Kimberly at the same time, and it really resulted in me going into prayer and praying engaging in this Catholic faith, this new pearl of great price, you might say, and led me in prayer to feel and to really hear the Lord saying that I shouldn't get married.
What do you do next?
That's the big question.
Yes, it is.
I was kind of faced with that, and at that point in our engagement, I was about 6 weeks away from getting married, and we had so many preparations in place, expectations of our family, our friends, and all of this, but here I was having tremendous doubts and feeling like the Lord was calling me to not get married. And I didn't have any inclination of the priesthood at that point at all. I didn't even see that as being a part of the picture at all.
Okay.
But I just felt that the Lord was calling me not to get married to Kimberly, at least. And I felt it very strongly, and I felt like I saw some signs in my life and my journey that I got the courage up and told her and broke off the wedding. And that was not an easy time, of
no.
course. And not for me, not for her, especially not for her. And I kind of slumped into, after that, trying to kind of pick my life back up, if you will, and studying. I started going to Mass. It was really after that I kind of went to Catholic Mass the first time and started learning. At that point, I felt that the Lord was leading me in this direction. So, but it was a beautiful time too. A hard time, but a beautiful time.
Father, stay right there. We're going to continue on God Calling right after these messages. Our guest on God Calling is Father Scott Winchell. And Father, you've taken us to the point where an engagement was broken off. You started going to Mass all the time. Clearly, Mass spoke to you. How did that lead you toward applying to the seminary?
I would say that it was so much through prayer. One day at a time, just praying and going to Mass. It was probably about 5 years from the time that I became Catholic to the time that I went to seminary.
Okay.
So there was a good time there of which I was able to learn what it meant to be a Catholic and to live that out, and or at least, you know, do my best to live that out. Going to daily Mass, still working in the world, and you know, whereas before in the military, my mom, I'd talk to her on the phone, and she would say, "So have you found a church? Are you going to church?" Well, now all of a sudden it was, "So are you going to church?" "Yes, I'm going to church. I go every day." And I think that my mom was kind of like, "Whoa, what did I create?" You know, created a monster here. But what a wonderful time. I felt like I was discovering a different planet or something. It was like a new continent almost. So even though, yes, we have so much in common with our Protestant brothers and sisters, and things that we use in our faith in many ways are similar, but there was so much to learn. And I've been Catholic about 25 years now, and it's hard to believe, but I find myself still uncovering and learning so much all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that's just been so fulfilling. But it's been a great journey.
How many parishes did you go to before you were named pastor at St. Anne's?
I was, okay, so my first assignment as a priest, I was there for 2 years. It actually happened to be St. Anne's where I'm at now.
Oh.
I was there for 2 years. And then I was moved to a parish in Augusta, Georgia for 2 years. And then I was named pastor of a small parish in a relatively small town in South Georgia. And I served there for 3 years as a pastor. And Then I was named pastor of a parish in the center of the state, Macon, Georgia, and I was there for 6 years. And then just about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, I was named pastor of St. Anne's, where I'm at now. So I'm kind of gone full circle and back where I started.
Yeah. In addition to that, you're doing work with the Catholic Leadership Institute. Can you tell us what that is? Because it sounds like it's an effort not to look at the church maybe as top down when it comes to some things, but maybe do more listening from the bottom up. I hope I summed that up correctly.
Yes. The Catholic Leadership Institute, they have a few different areas in which they help, what I'd say, to help the church. One of them that I had been involved with more extensively was a program called Good Leaders, Good Shepherds. And it is a component or a series of conferences and classes, if you will, to help priests to become better leaders. And it's using, I would say, a lot of the models, maybe more of a business model in some areas, to look at our personality individually as priests and say, what kind of type of a personality might I have? And what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are some areas that I would want to consider about being a good leader and working with other people, working with our different councils, and also recognizing working with individuals on our staff? What type of workers are they? What type of personalities might they have? And how can we be respectful and have a good, productive relationship and working environment with other people? So using strategies, using goals, using strategic measures to help us to grow in our own leadership work as priests and also in parishes to help them to grow as well. They also work with parishes. They've had certain different types of initiatives in which they may partner with a diocese or partner with a particular parish, where they would come in and have a series of questionnaires answering questions about how they, the parish and the leaders of the parish, the laity, how they perceive the pastor, the priest. Do they like the homilies or not? Do they like the music? You know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. But an extensive survey in parishes, and to be able to provide those results back to the pastor and the parish, and to be able to bring up some good topics for talk. Yeah. And to maybe set some goals and recognizing the weaknesses and the strengths of the parish, and how can we go forward to be able to grow and ultimately to come closer to the Lord. Mm-hmm. in our journey.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to give that kind of data to a pastor or even to a bishop in marrying or, well, assigning somebody to a particular parish. Hey, this looks like a good marriage here. Let's do that. And obviously you and all priests are having to deal more and more today with the laity, and they're probably leading the laity is probably a lot different than leading an associate pastor, I would certainly assume. Father, we're almost out of time. Anything you'd like to say to somebody who might be considering either consecrated life, religious life? What would you say?
I would say, listen to the Lord the best that you can. Come to Him with an openness to whatever He may call you to. Be open to it legitimately. Authentically, and then to go wherever the Lord leads you. You know, the Lord created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, even though we may think we know ourselves very well and we know our likes and our dislikes. But the Lord, He loves us. And if we follow Him, we follow His direction in our life, that's where we're going to find the greatest joy and greatest happiness and the greatest glory for him and for his people. It's a great life.
Father Scott Winchell, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story here on God Calling. We appreciate it. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. Join us each week at this time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.